owls and cemeteries, are those two things you normally associate with one another, owls and cemeteries? Now, for the Greeks, the owl was the symbol for Athena, who was the goddess of wisdom. And because of that, we're naturally used to associating owls with wisdom, right? We say that someone is a wise old owl, or that they're as wise as an owl. Have you seen the commercial for TripAdvisor on TV? That's the bathrobe-wearing owl who lets us know that wise people use TripAdvisor to find the best and the cheapest hotel fares for the vacation. And there's the owl spokes animal, I guess he is, for the drug Zizol, who reminds us that we should be what? Wise all and take Zizol for our allergy symptoms. And what about the lovable character Owl in Winnie the Pooh? Is he indeed not a wise old owl who's always there to give wisdom and advice to Pooh? Now, other cultures look at owls completely differently. In some Native American folklore, the owl is considered a spirit helper and a guide. Other Native Americans portray the owl as a bad omen and a warning of death. Some stories depict the owl as a supernatural messenger sent to warn of doom and danger that's coming. The owl is a bird of the shadows, right? Owls only come out when? At night. They're a bird of the shadows, the darkness, the night, and sometimes the messenger of death. For the Zuni, the owl is the protector of the home. He represents wisdom and truth and has the ability to see what others cannot see. Now, some cultures believe that when an owl appears, he's a messenger sent to invite you to step out of your perspective and become a silent observer in your own life, if you can imagine what that's like, to step outside and look back in on yourself. Others believe that the appearance of an owl is an invitation to leave the past where it belongs, so that you can enjoy the present and be open to a new future. The owl bestows the gift of second sight and the ability to hear things that are not spoken. Now, for the British, the Celts, they believed that owls were able to communicate with the dead, and their presence in cemeteries has long been seen as proof of that communication with the dead. Now, that's kind of spooky stuff, but the close connection between owls and graveyards is really no myth at all. Fact is, many owls live in cavities of trees, and old trees in cemeteries often have the largest and the best hollows and cavities for nesting. As it turns out, if you're an owl watcher, cemeteries are perfect places to spot owls. And owl watchers will often visit cemeteries to see their favorite birds. Now, whether you view owls as messengers of death or givers of insight and wisdom, or invitations to look at you from a new yourself from a new perspective, by analogy, a trip to the cemetery is a good place to find and do all of those things too. Now, when Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, he was facing a controversy in the early church. Excuse me. There were Christians who were saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. That's the context for today's passage that Mitch just read. Those members of the Corinthian church were not convinced that the dead would be raised. And for the most part, they were simply following the accepted wisdom of the time. And they saw resurrection as a rare and altogether extraordinary event. Now, they didn't doubt that Jesus had been raised from the dead because they knew he was the one and only Son of God. But for many of those believers, resurrection simply was not in the cards for your common, average, ordinary, everyday believer. But could you blame them? I mean, when those doubters strolled through graveyards, they saw death, not life. And in our more honest moments, maybe we have to admit that too, don't we? that cemeteries are places for the dead and not for the living. Now, on a personal note, I spend a lot of time in cemeteries. And I mean a lot of time, probably more than the average person does, because for me, it's part of my job. And I've had the unique privilege of sharing some of that time with so many of you. I've been there in the graveyard as you've laid to rest your parents, your friends, your spouses, so many times, and so many people. You and I have spent some difficult times together when you have been most vulnerable and saddest times of your life. But believe it or not, that is time that maybe I cherish more than any other time in my ministry. Now, I once read something that said that God works best in cemeteries. And you know what? I've come to believe that more than anything, that God does indeed work best in cemeteries. Don't you? Now, one thing I've always loved about the Bellevue Cemetery is the amount and variety of life that's present in that place that's reserved for the dead. Now, I've yet to see an owl, I'll give you that. But so often during an interment, there are deer and turkey, and if it's early morning in the spring or fall, I've done a few of those interments, there is that amazing, that awe-inspiring sight of thousands of geese lifting off from the Missouri River to continue their migration after a night's rest. It's just a spectacular affirmation of life, even and especially in the midst of death. Truthfully, though, it's hard to see the hope and promise of life among tombstones, especially when those stone markers we face are so lifeless and large and unmovable. But that's the way it is with cemeteries. And you know what? Sometimes our lives are like cemeteries too. More death than life to be had in our day-to-day existence, even more so. It's difficult to find newness and promise and hope when we're confronted with those headstones of divorce, or losing a job, or failing a mark on a final or a college major that isn't working out for you, or a diagnosis of cancer, or the death of someone you love. There are times in our lives when we feel like we're living in a cold and lonely graveyard. And when we find ourselves trudging through those tombstones day after day, it's difficult to see signs of life. Speaking of scary, that's about as scary as life gets. But the good news is this, that in the cemetery times of our lives, new life can and does emerge. Rare, glorious life right there. Behind those tombstones, under that cold, gray February sky, if you're careful to look in the right place. And something similar happened after Jesus was laid in the tomb. You know the story. After the crucifixion, his dead body is wrapped in a clean linen cloth, placed in a brand new tomb, which had been carved into a rock, and a heavy stone is rolled in front of the door to seal the tomb, because the soldiers were afraid that the disciples were going to steal the body. And everyone assumed that that was the end of the story, that he was crucified, dead, and buried. And, in fact, his life was just beginning. And that's the same way with us. On Easter morning, new life appeared in the graveyard as Jesus shocked Mary Magdalene and the disciples, when he stood in front of them, raised from the dead by God. Jesus comforted them and taught them and gave them his peace and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," giving them the power from God that they would need to continue to do Jesus' work in the world. And that gift of the Holy Spirit is nothing less than a gift of new life, unexpected life, a second birth given to all who follow the risen Christ in faith. Now, for those of you who are doing through the Bible, we've just begun Acts. Do any of you see a disconnect between the Peter of the Gospel and the Peter of Acts? Are they like two completely different people? That's what we're talking about. The truth is that wildlife flourishes in the protected and cared for land around tombstones. That's good news, but here's better news, that we're offered the chance of new life, of freedom from sin and eternal life, all from an empty tomb. That's what we get when we look to Christ for new life. The good news for us is that Christ has been raised from the dead, as Paul puts it, the first fruits of those who have died. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection and the first example of the amazing new life that comes to us now and when our days on earth are over. And that's a reminder that nothing in all of creation, neither illness, nor crying, nor pain, nor dying, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul puts it this way: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. If for this life, and I love this sentence, this is one to remember, kids. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are, of all people, most to be pitied. Following Christ for no reason other than that we want to emulate the example of the good things he did and the compassionate way he treated people, that's admirable. How much better the world would be if we did that every day. But if that's the sum total of our faith, then as Paul would say, our faith is futile. Did you say futile or futile? Futile, and we are most pitied of all. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to be pitied. And there's nothing worse than spinning your wheels in a futile effort, is there? Sometimes we need to take a little walk through that cemetery once again, wander around among the headstones, listen for the sound of the owl calling us, to listen with fresh ears. Look for that tomb over there in the corner. You know the one that's empty. Maybe it's time to take our faith back to the cemetery where it all began. Even in cemeteries, especially in cemeteries, divorce, job loss, illness, death, even the end of our lives, the cemetery times of our lives are the best places and the best times to trade the futility of faith for abundant new life, to stop the pity and find joy again. Real joy, because Christ has been raised from the dead, and our faith is not in vain. And because God carried Jesus through the very worst of life, he'll work with us and through us and in us to achieve the same victory at those scary times when we have to let go of life as we know it, to enter into life as it comes. God is there, not hopelessly or in futility, but in glory and holding us close. For most people, graveyards are depressing, and a walk among the tombstones lead to nothing but thoughts of what? Of death, of decay, of what you've lost. And if your life right now seems about as cold and lifeless as a cemetery, stop and look around. Because behind and around those headstones and all of those reminders of death and failure and futility, you're bound to find some owls. And they have a message for you. Amen. Would you please stand as we affirm our faith? In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.